So you and your fellow researchers have published data concerning a gender pay gap in New Zealand's academic institutions. What sort of difference can a woman expect to see in her pay packet versus her male counterpart?
Over the course of a career, women in New Zealand universities earn about $400,000 less. And we tried to figure out, well, what causes that and what explanatory drivers are there out there that we can use to figure out why there's this $400,000 pay gap. The most quantifiable and obvious explanation would be, well, surely it must be productivity, because surely we operate and work in a meritocracy where the best researchers and the best producers rise to the top. And indeed, we found what we call a performance gap, which means we've got this scoring mechanism that scores both men and women on a score from 0 to 700 on basically how good our research is. And women tend to score about 50 points lower. And women also get paid less and are ranked less highly. So you think, well, surely the performance, productivity explains the difference in rank. But if you look at the actual data, you can see that no, it doesn't. So that when women score at the highest grades, so say an A grade researcher, her odds of making it to professor or even associate professor are half the odds of the guy across the hall with the same score.
What were the key reasons that were given for people not being given advancement on the same lines as male staff?
What our study did was look at patterns across 6,000 people to get key reasons why women might get turned down for promotion. We get promoted based on our research and our teaching and our administration. So there are any number of reasons that could be given for denying someone a promotion.
So you spoke a little bit about the glass ceiling and how that was historically seen as a barrier to people rising through the ranks. You seem surprised that that still exists in 2019, 2020. Do you think that that's something which is going to dissipate? Do you see a solution to this problem?
That's a rich question. There's about three questions in there.
Sorry, I can read.
Number one, am I surprised? I'm not surprised that there's a gender pay gap, because lots of people have found that. What I am surprised at is that there's a gender performance pay gap. So even when a woman gets an A grade, her odds of being a professor are still half of what a male A grade's odds are. So that I find that very surprising. And then you ask, is that glass ceiling, is it disappearing with time? The data suggests that, well, no, not really. It's not disappearing over time that we can see. We did a model of what things would look like 50 years from now under various conditions, one of which was equitable hiring, where we hire 50% men and women at the different ranks. And even if we do that, in no field will the disparity disappear entirely. So men will continue to dominate at the top ranks. And then your final question was what to do about it? Well, that's a question for universities, because they're the employers here. This is an employment issue between academic staff and the universities that employ them. And if the universities were to ask me, which they haven't, but if they were, I would say have a look at your hiring patterns and your promotions patterns. And we have very helpfully done that for you in our paper and in the appendix. So they can see that in the hiring patterns, they can see a pretty strong pattern that men tend to get hired at just a little bit more elevated of a salary and a rank. And they can also see in the promotions patterns that Well, the promotions are a little bit messier, but I'll give you an example. We took a subset of people who were employed at a university in 2003 and in 2012. So we followed them for 9 years, right? And if you take the example of people at associate professor, and the women who were associate professors in 2003, by the time they got to 2012, they had improved their scores by more. And indeed, their scores by 2012, those female associate professors, their scores were higher than their male counterparts, but yet they still had lower odds of having made it to professor in those 9 years.
Do you feel like the university has a responsibility to respond to this and to actually take action?
Again, you'd have to ask the universities. If I were in their shoes, if I were in HR and senior management, then I would say yes, but I'm not. I'm just, I'm a teacher, and I'm a researcher.
Have universities in Aotearoa at any point taken steps or action to redress the gender pay gap which has emerged?
Yeah, I think that they have. I've heard different universities talk about the steps that they've taken. But what we can see in the data is that despite some universities taking great steps, no university in the data stands out as being particularly good or particularly bad. So some universities have taken great steps, others have taken no steps, but yet when you look at them and compare them, they're much of a muchness. There's not, there are no leaders, there are no laggards, even though some have taken steps.
What stood out to you over the course of this research? Was there anything that you found particularly surprising or didn't expect to uncover throughout the period of your research?
Yeah, well, I just didn't expect to find this finding. I expected that merit would explain pay, that merit and productivity would explain rank. So, we all have our ranks from professor down to lecturer, and we all have our grades from A, B, C, and basically F. And I really thought that A, B, C, or F would almost entirely explain professor, associate professor, senior lecturer, or lecturer, regardless of gender. But what we found is no, it doesn't. In order to know if an A-grade researcher is a professor or not, you need to know what gender they are. Because if you're an A-grade researcher, you're exceedingly likely to be a professor and paid accordingly, except if you're a woman. So 3 out of 4 A-grade men are professors, whereas less than half of A-grade women are professors. And that, to me, that's just really surprising.
I find that surprising also, to be honest
with you. Yeah, I mean, if we go through this quite lengthy and extensive process of scoring everybody and grading everybody, then it's striking that the grades don't explain the difference in rank.
When you put it that way, it really does challenge the whole idea of grading people and like what standard are we actually being graded to? What's the metric that they're applying?
You mean the grading or the ranking?
Well, the ranking and advancement that comes with the grades.
It comes with the grades if you're a man.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't come with the grades if you're a woman. And yeah, and the grading and the ranking are totally separate processes. So the reason they do the grading is to dole out money to universities. So if I get an A grade, the University of Canterbury gets, I think it's $200,000 a year for that A grade. if I get a B grade, the UC gets, I think, $120,000 a year. If I get a C grade, the university gets about $60,000 a year. If I get an F or an F grade, the university gets zero. So the universities all want higher, all of their staff to get higher grades because they get more money. But the grading isn't part of the ranking exercise. So yeah, they're totally separate processes. But I take your point that if a professor does teaching and research and committee work, and a lecturer does teaching and research and committee work, you do wonder why we have ranks, you know, if we're all doing the same job, you know. So when you get promoted up to the next rank, you're still doing the same job. So yeah, I take your point that ranks might be outdated.
Well, Anne, I'm coming up to the end of my allotted time in the studio, but I'd just like to ask if there's anything that you'd like to add.
I guess I would just say that it's a facile argument to say, oh, well, it's because women have children. The children explanation would explain that performance gap that I described, or it might explain the reason why women score a little bit lower on the research scoring. But what is striking about our research is that even regardless of children, even if women get to the top of their game and get to that top 15%, they don't get paid the same.